Okay, and I'll start this one, and we're off and running, folks. Again, it's Friday night. I'm glad you're here. This is a wonderful time for me because, again, you know my heart. I love to present the Word because when the Holy Spirit leads me in these directions, sometimes, like I said, folks, this message is sometimes for me. But, again, I hope that when you come here on Friday nights, you know, again, I always say, you could have been elsewhere, but you decided to come here tonight. And when I say here, it sounds like, you know what I'm saying, yeah, we're all in the same room. But in a way, we kind of are because we're using technology to connect and we're sitting together and you are here to listen to the message because, again, I am honored to present the message because, like I said, you could be doing your own little thing, watching movies or eating some of that good fish I was seeing on Facebook earlier and other things, and somebody didn't give me no fish, but you know, but y'all are here, folks, and thank you for being here. Look, I am excited, and I'm always is, because, you know, when we are living for the Lord, folks, we should be excited, amen? So, I got a question for you, my friends, and I've been thinking about this when writing this message, because, again, you know, I told someone earlier, you know, when we start meditating on the Word of God, we start drawing ourselves closer to God, you know, and as we're growing each and every day, we start learning new things. And sometimes when we go through life experience, we also gain some more wisdom, but we gain, I cannot describe it, but it's like a little more spiritual infilling of what God's thoughts and kingdoms really is like, you know, and we kind of like let ourselves die a little bit more in the flesh, but we grow a little bit more spiritually. And in my time of my sickness, you know, hey, I had a lot of time to think. Because, you know, when you're sitting on the sofa and you're mobilized and you really can't do nothing, folks, let me tell you the truth, you're doing a lot of praying and a lot of talking to God. And sometimes if you're willing to listen, He will answer it. Amen. But I got this question I need to ask you tonight. You ready? Are y'all ready for it? Somebody give me a yes, you know, anything, a bone or whatever. Okay, there you go. Thank you, brother. Now, listen very carefully. What if, for one day, Jesus were to become you? What? That's right. What if, for one day, Jesus were to become you? What if, for 24 hours, Jesus wakes up in your bed, walks in your shoes, lives in your house, assumes your schedule? Your boss becomes his boss. Your mother becomes his mother. Your pains become his pains, with one exception. Nothing about your life changes. Your health doesn't change. Your circumstances don't change. Your schedule isn't altered. Your problems aren't solved. Only one change occurs. What if, for one day and one night, Jesus lives your life with his heart? Your heart gets the day off, and your life is led by the heart of Christ. His priorities govern your actions. His passions drives your decisions. His love directs your behavior. Now think about that. Now think about this. What would you be like? I'll let y'all think about that. What would you be like? Would people notice a change? your family? Would they see something new? Your co-workers? Would they sense a difference? What about the less fortunate? Would you treat them the same? And your friends? Would they detect more joy? How about your enemies? Would they receive more mercy from Christ's heart than from yours? And you, how would you feel? What alterations would this transplant have on your stress level, your mood swings, your temper? Would you sleep better? Would you see sunsets differently? Would you see death differently? Taxes differently? Any chance you need fewer aspirins or sedatives? How about your reaction to traffic delays? Whoops. Oh, that touched a bad nerve. I know it does with us. I'm here in the Baton Rouge region. Would you still dread what you are dreading? Better yet, would you still do what you are doing? Would you still do what you have planned to do for the next 24 hours? Think about all those questions. So if you got your Bibles with you, my friends, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And I was going to read verse 16 through 17, but let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 14 through 17. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to start with verse 14 in Ephesians chapter 3. And it says this: "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit, the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. Father, we ask of you to meet with us for this short little time. Father, we ask of you to please forgive us where we have fallen short of your precious glory. We ask of you to forgive us where we have missed your mark today. And Father, if you do grant us the ability to wake up tomorrow, please forgive us again for our mistakes that we may make. And Father, please forgive us again of our wrongs and our bad thoughts. Father, I ask of you to be with me and strengthen me and help me and encourage me and lift me up. And Father, I ask of you to be with me during this short little time presenting this message. I know right now the message may be for me. I don't know if it's for the others here tonight. You know what? But you just led me to it, and that's just the way it's going to be. But I ask of you to touch those who are here tonight, to help them, to guide them, to let them know that you love them and you're not going to forsake them, and bless their homes and put a protective hedge around them and love them and just encourage them. And Father, I ask of you in the name of Jesus, I lift these folks up to you, that you do what you always say you're going to do. Father, those who could not be here tonight, I made invites, I asked, and I talked to a few, and there were some I think really should have been here to hear this message about the heart. But again, the enemy, he knows what he does best. He loves to trick them up or throw things in their lives or to make excuses for them, and they got to leave and go take care of these other things. But God, I ask you to reach out to them. Oh, touch their hearts. Touch their hearts, because they need that transplant. They need it badly. Oh, they are hurting and they're crying and they're having difficulties. And, you know, and I sit here and my heart agonizes for them. And I just wish they can just see things more clearly in your direction and think less of their flesh Oh, God, I ask of you to reach out to them and reach out to all the lost souls in this world. They need Jesus badly. So, Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We give it all to you in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Now, some of you may have seen the message, or the title, as I call it, The Heart, Christ's Home. Now, you're thinking about that, like, where's Jim going to go with this one? Because he seems to have a habit of going in a lot of topics, you know, and I think a lot of topics that we deal with, you know, messages. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of it pertains to me living something personally that I have went through. And maybe you have too, you know. So I hope that you are encouraged in tonight's message, because I want you to know in tonight's message, Jesus desires to be in a personal and intimate relationship with each of us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But let me ask you this, do we really know him? Most relationships are only casual based on surface knowledge. But to really know someone intimately, we must know their hearts. Or we must know their heart. You see, in this letter to the Ephesians in chapter 3, as I just read in verse 16 through 17, those are the two verses I really were key on, but I felt led to read from 14. But in 16 and 17, Paul writes these words. And they're on the screen, but look at them and pay attention to them. He said that he, meaning God, may grant you to be strengthened with the might through his spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. In another translation, it says this, that Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts by faith. See, my friends, without a question, this is one of the most remarkable truths of the Christian doctrine, and that is Jesus himself, through the Holy Spirit, will actually enter a heart, settle down, and be at home there. He said to his disciples, when you look at John chapter 14, verse 23, says this, that this is what he is saying now, it's not me. He said, if any man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make a home with him. Also make note of this in chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus tells them that he will be leaving them soon. Folks, let me say something like this. It must have been difficult for the disciples to understand what he was saying. You know, he was saying, how can this be possible? How can such a thing be? For him both to leave them and make his home with them at the same time? I guarantee you they're probably a little bit slightly confused. Wait a minute, you saying this, but you also saying this. What is it? But see, then we find Jesus using a similar concept by using the word home earlier in John chapter 14, verse 3. Which he says, and we should know this verse practically almost by heart, which he says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, and make note of this, you may be also. He was going away to prepare a house or a home for them. That's what he was going to do. And one day, welcome them there, and also one day welcome us there. So in the meantime, he would make it possible for them to prepare a place for him in their hearts. A place where he could settle down and be at home. But by now, this was beyond their comprehension. How could such a thing be? Oh, but I got some good news for you, my friends. Then came Pentecost. It was there that the living Spirit of God, Christ Himself, was given to the church, and they experienced what was foretold to them by Jesus. And now they understood. Listen, God no longer dwelled in the temple of Jerusalem, nor did he in any temple made with human hands. Now, through the miracle of the outpouring of the Spirit of the living God, God could dwell in the very heart of man. The body of the believer has now become a temple, and his heart a home for Christ to live in. Woo! You get that? Do you? You see, I was telling some people earlier in the chat room, see, lately, what I have experienced in the last 4 weeks of my life, thinking, meditating, praying, soul searching, stepping back, examining myself. And I think all of us, my friends, we should do that. We should take a step back and look at ourselves like we're looking in a mirror. Because I'm going to tell you right now, folks, and I was telling some folks earlier in the room today, we are the temple of the true living God Himself. His Spirit is within us. Not some old made-up spirit, not some other device or whatever. Folks, I am telling you, God Himself is living within you, and I think we're not fully understanding what that means. You see, I hear this all the time. People are saying, I'm having trouble. I'm having difficulty. I'm afraid. Oh, I'm this and I'm this. And, you know, and now I'm starting to facepalm myself. And I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. You know, folks, hold on a minute. Look what God's Word says. We have Him inside of us. So how can we let these things affect our mind? You know why we're letting them affect our mind? Because we're giving into the mind of the flesh, but not the mind of the spirit. But the worst thing is we're not giving into the heart of the Spirit Himself. We are still having a little element of control in there somewhere, and we just need to learn, you know what? I'm going to take this control thing. Here you go, God. Get it out of the way, and let me just rest within your home. And once you start thinking like that, once you start allowing that to work within you and let it transform you, you will see things differently. And I see many Christians struggling with this. Come on. Come on. Submit to Him and get rid of yourself. And just like I said, my dear friends, within 30 minutes after Pentecost, the disciples themselves knew more about Jesus than they did in those 3 years they spent with Him. Do you get that? Friends, the Bible says the natural man cannot receive the things of God. Let me repeat this. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. And the question is, why? Why? Let me grab some water and I'm going to give you the answer. You ready for it? Here's the answer. It's very simple, my friends. The reason why the natural man cannot receive the things of God is because he has not the Spirit of the living God within him. So therefore, he cannot and never will know God. There is no higher privilege than to make a Christ a home in my heart, to have him live there, to be able to serve and know him personally. And let me tell you something, I will never forget the day that he entered my heart. What an entrance he made. What an entrance. It was nothing spectacular, nor was I very emotional, boohooing and crying. But let me tell you something, and let me tell you the truth, it was real. It was real. And there is something happening within the center of my soul. He came into the darkness of my heart and turned on the light. He built a fire in the coldness of my heart, and my heart began to melt. He put a song of joy in the deadness of my heart and filled the emptiness with his presence. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you straight up. I have never regretted opening the door of my heart to allow Christ to come in and make it his home. I never regretted it. Never will I ever regret it. I don't even bother looking back on it anymore. That old Jimbo, he died. He's dead. Brother Jim, that person who was him no longer exists. What you hear here tonight is the new man that he created within me. Not me. He did it. But you see, this is the first step of making the heart Christ's home. And notice what it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, when it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Wow. If you want to know the reality of God and the personal presence of Jesus within your heart and soul, then open wide the door of the heart and ask him to come in and be your Savior and Lord. You see, after Christ entered my heart, I began to experience a new loving relationship. And I said, "Lord, Lord, I want this heart of mine to be yours. I want you to settle down here and be fully at home. I want you to use it as your own. After all, you will be living here with me, and I want us to enjoy our time together." Jesus, with a smile, seemed to be delighted to be given a place in my heart. And folks, we need to understand the verb that Paul used refers to a permanent indwelling or residence of Christ in the heart. It's not temporary. Oh, no, it ain't. It's just not going to come there for a little while and leave. I'm sorry, folks. But see, when someone is really experiencing real conversion, they will be a transformation, period. And this is why we probably, when we see a lot of people coming to church, a lot of people saying yes to Christ or whatever, it seems like they go good for a little while and bam, they're right back into the world. Well, the problem is, they have never really opened their heart, and they never been converted by the Holy Spirit, because yet they did not open that door. It was just superficial. That's it. But when you are real, I mean, when you are truly born again, God, and you heard me say it earlier, God Himself, the living God, will transform you. And He means, well, this is what Paul's saying, He means that we should welcome Christ into every aspect of our lives, so that there is no known areas of our lives that we would be uncomfortable having Christ share it with us. And folks, let me reiterate this. And what I'm trying to say here, if you're going to ask Jesus into your life, look, okay, you can't say, look, Jesus, you can have about 90% of this, but that other 10%, leave it alone. No, folks, all means all. You must surrender all and give all to Him, and that's it, because you can't keep nothing of it, and you can't keep nothing hidden, because I guarantee we heard the scripture of light a lot. Light will expose the darkness. And if you got something in your mind that you're trying to hide from Jesus, folks, you're not going to hide it. He will bring it out, and He will point it out to you if you allow Him to do so. Like I said, if you're uncomfortable having Christ share it, you better get rid of it, or you better reevaluate yourself. And perhaps, look, folks, and this is why I had to dig into this one a little bit, and I found this one here, and I loved it. Perhaps no one has put it better than Robert Munger. I don't know if some of y'all heard who he is. Robert Munger, M-U-N-G-E-R, like hunger with Munger. But in his little booklet, and I read some of this on the internet, which titles My Heart, Christ's Home. And he tells of how after Christ entered his heart, in the joy of that newfound relationship, he said, Lord, I want this heart of mine to be yours. I want this heart of mine to be yours. When y'all said that, did y'all really mean it? Did you even think about that thought, Lord, you know what? I want this heart of mine to be yours too. But listen to what he keeps saying here in his story that I read. He said, Lord, I want this heart of mine to be yours. I want to have you settle down here and perfectly be at home. Everything I have belongs to you. Let me show you around and introduce you to the various features of the home so that you may be more comfortable and that we may have a fuller relationship together. You see, he went on to say that the first room we looked at together was the study, the library. Let's call it the study of the mind. Now, this room is a very small with thick walls, but a very important room. In a sense, it's the control room. Do you get that? In a sense, it's the control room. He entered in with me, and he looked around at the bookcase, the magazines on the table, the pictures on the wall. And as I watched him look around, in that room, I began to feel uncomfortable for the first time. It never bothered me before until now. I felt ashamed, embarrassed, and I wanted to hang my head down. You see, his eyes were too pure to look upon some of those books. The magazines on the table wasn't something that a Christian should be reading. As for the pictures on the wall, they brought imaginations and thoughts to the mind that was shameful. Red face, I became. I turned to him and said, Master, I know this room really needs to be cleaned up and made over. I know it. Will you help me change it to the way it should be? And he said this, replace the books, which are not worth reading and viewing, those which are not pure, true, good, and helpful. Fill that library with the books of the Bible so you can meditate on them day and night. And as for the pictures on the wall, you will have a hard time controlling these images. But I have something that will help you. And he gave me a full-size portrait of himself. And he said, hang this on the wall of your mind. And notice what he said. He said, folks, I did that. I discovered through the years when my thoughts were centered on Christ, the awareness of his presence, his purity and power caused wrong and impure thoughts to back away. Those thoughts didn't bother me no more. Those thoughts didn't battle with me no more. Those thoughts did not take control of my mind no more. Because when my mind was focused on him and what his words were saying, those things become nothing but the past. And again, as I was telling someone earlier, they're having such a hard time. They're having fear. They're allowing this to happen. They're allowing that to happen. They're allowing this to happen. And I said, the problem that you are experiencing, you're not letting Jesus have full control of that control room. That's the problem. Give it to him. Let him control it 100% and think of him, his words. Meditate on him day and night. Folks, this is what it means when God says, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. But if you've got a roadblock in there or one of those barrier blocks, or I don't know how it is in different countries, but we got these big concrete barriers. And if you put that in his path, then he is not going to be able to proceed no further, because again, he is not going to force himself on you, because you must make the decision to allow him to control everything. Do you understand this? Do you get this? Do you? I'm not trying to make anybody here feel uncomfortable. See, but I have learned in the last several weeks, my heart is starting to, it's aching. It's aching. Because I see what's going on now. I see what's going on. We are not allowing him to control our hearts 100%. The main control room is the mind. The mind controls the rest of the body. The heart and the mind works together. So folks, if we're not allowing him to have it all, we are hindering ourselves in our spiritual walk with him. But yet, we are not experiencing God himself, because we're not allowing God to do what he wants to do. I already told you, God's not going to force himself on you. You have to make the decision. You have to make the decision, Lord, I want you to change my heart. Take the old one out. Give me a new one. But you know what? When you give me the new one, make that new heart bigger. Make the new heart bigger. And when you start meditating on his purity and his power and his words and his strength and whatever things that he can do, you will start to experience God like you have never experienced it before. Just like those disciples during the day of Pentecost, they knew more about Jesus in the 3 years they spent with him. You want to grow. You want to understand. Then go to your control room and see if you're trying to hide some things behind that bookshelf or behind those books or whatever. If there's an area in your mind somewhere that you're not allowing him to see or control, then folks, make a decision. Say, you know what? Oops, I forgot about this. I'm sorry, Lord, here. It's yours. And what you need to do, you need to let him have full control, because once you start doing that like you did with me, just like this fellow I just read about, when you allow him to do that and what he did for me, he helped me because I struggled with this myself when I first said yes, because I was hanging on to things. I was allowing certain things in my life, and I was not giving it up to him. I wanted him. Well, yes, I did. I wanted him, but I was not giving him full control. But once I started to understand this and I made the decisions, you know, because this is why I quote Romans 12, 1 and 2 a lot, because that to me was my key verse to help me fully understand what God can do. And once I understand that, that he helped me bring my thoughts under control. But that was only through the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm not going to lie to you, the struggle still remains. And I guarantee if you're honest with yourself tonight, yes, each of us will admit we struggle. I'm not trying to be rude against people, but I have ran across many people. I don't have that problem struggling, Jim. I'm okay. I got it all together. You know what? I hate to say it like this, but I love to look at it and say, you're nothing but a liar. You're nothing but a liar. Don't stand there and be presumptuous and tell me, oh no, I don't have no struggles. I got it all under control. Yeah? Keep fooling that, because I heard some people in a story I read, they used to handle rattlesnakes. And this guy said, man, I had it all under control. Always had the control. That's why it never bothered me and they would never bite me. I forgot what the story is, but I read it. But when the guy said, you know what, he said that 2 days later, he ended up slipping and falling in a pit of rattlesnakes, and all of them bit him. So he said he had it under control. What happened? He found out otherwise he didn't. You start acting like you got it under control and you don't allow him to control your heart, guess what? Just like the rattlesnakes, it's going to bite you. Examine yourself. And yes, folks, I am going to be truthful. We do struggle. And that's why I love Paul in Romans. He relates to that, and I relate to him. But I know, at least though, I still strive to let Jesus have it all. And it's difficult at times, yes. All the mind plays with me. All the mind runs these thoughts. I ain't going to lie to you. The mind sometimes, better part most days, gets the best of me. But I have learned to start stripping myself and allowed him to start taking control. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. After you have allowed him into your heart, and if you are having difficulty with this little room called the mind, let me say this, and let me encourage you to bring Jesus Christ there. You hear me? If you're having difficulty with the little room called the mind, bring Jesus there. Don't keep him out of that room. You probably, you know, I heard many people are probably thinking along this line, oh, Jesus, look, come check out this house. But you know what? You can't go to that room. That's the only one you can't go to. Leave that closet alone. You can have the rest of it, but leave that closet alone. That's mine. That's how you think, and that's how sometimes you refer to it, then folks, you know what? You're missing the point. We're missing the mark. He has to have all of it. And I want you to understand this, folks. The way to conquer that is pack it full with the Word of God. Study it. Meditate on it. And keep before you the presence of the Lord. Because again, I just said it a little while ago, and I'm saying it again. And again, this is my key verse for me, Romans 12, 2, which says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And listen, friends, listen to the negative side of this scriptures would be to imitate the world and its way of thinking. Folks, the Bible says the mind can be hardened, it can be blinded, it can be corrupted, and with all that, it can be degraded. Do you understand that? You start allowing yourself to think of the things of the world, to be part of those things in the world, to start doing those things of the world, to start allowing that world to have more mindset control over you than the Word of God and Christ Himself. Guess what's going to happen? That heart's going to become like a cancer. And you're going to inert the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the key element to all this, we as Christians must decide that worldly behavior is off limits to us. Gotta draw that line. It's off limits. Oh, Jim, you just didn't go there. Well, I'm sorry to say, yes, I did, because you know what? I have allowed myself to cross that line sometimes. Didn't give it second thought. But after I thought about it a while, oh man, I shouldn't have watched that movie. Oh man, I shouldn't have got angry at that lady at Walmart. Man, I shouldn't have got angry in that traffic line. Man. You see where I'm going with this? We need to rethink our thought process. We need to make the worldly behavior off limit to us, and that means sacrificing a lot. And folks, refusing to not conform to this world's values must go deeper than behavior or customs. And I think you know what I mean by that, that we must allow the Holy Spirit to rule our hearts and minds. It must be firmly planted into our minds. And listen to this. You must burn this into your mind. Burn it! I say burn it! Let God transform you into a new person, a new nature, because you and I are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. And what I mean, my friends, we must have a heart transplant. We must have set mind. We must have a disciplined mind. And the Bible says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself. And the Bible also says, set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. You hear what I'm saying? And let me ask you this question. Now, I'm going to get serious with this now. What is your heart like today? What's your heart like today? What's in your study? Well, I know some of you may have heard the commercial, what's in your wallet? Now, would Jesus approve of it? Does it influence you in a way that it will cause you to become more like Christ? Or does it influence you to become more like the world? What's governing your way of thinking? Is God's words prominent in your thoughts? Is His words in your thoughts all day long? Or have you allowed something else to govern your mind and your heart? Now, the real question I want to leave you with, are you acting as a good host to Jesus Christ in your life? Are you making your heart a comfortable place for the Holy Son of God to dwell? Or do you want Him to change you? In order to do so, you must experience the power of God's Spirit in your inner man. And you must obey Christ by faith as you allow Him progressively to exercise His Lordship over every nook and cranny of your heart. And last but not least, oh friends, last but not least, will you surrender your heart and mind to Him and allow Him to do what He does best to change you and to make you into a new creation? If I had time, I would tell you a story about that. But will you allow Him to make you into a new creation? Will you? The choice is yours to make. Which will it be? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us to be here. And Father, thank you for speaking to my heart today. Thank you for speaking to my heart all week while preparing this message. Because, you know, I just generally did not have an idea where this thing was going to go, or how it was going to be led, or why you was speaking to me about this. But, you know, the more I keep thinking about it, the more I keep rereading it, it's speaking to me, and it's telling me, you know what, that control room, I think I need to get that feather duster in there and start dusting off some stuff in there, because I kind of allowed some of that stuff to creep in, and I think I need to get in there and say, okay, tell you what, we're time to do, we used to call it spring cleaning, but now it's getting close to fall, Father, we are asking right now to do fall cleaning. Get in there. Oops, I forgot about that little nook over there. Oops, I forgot about that little cranny. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Okay, here you go. It's all up to you now. Here it is. I'm going to sit down in a chair and enjoy your fellowship. So thank you, God, for allowing me to see this and allowing me to make changes in my life. And I ask you to bless those who are here tonight. And Father, I hope through these words that you have spoken to their hearts and allow them to self-examine and allow them to think, do I have any nook and crannies laying in there somewhere? I think I better go take a look in that control room just to see. So, Father, love them, guide them, nurture them, and be with them. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. And I thank you, my friends. I really do.